Tonight we are launching a series, okay, and launched it this morning, and I'm going to share some things I shared this morning and then some other variation of thoughts. But we're talking this year, and every year we like to take a month or so to do a deep dive into either a book of the Bible or to talk about the Bible. And so tonight we're going to begin a series about the Bible itself. The Bible was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors, from kings to fishermen, but has a very clear theme that goes all the way through the Bible. It's the most influential book that's ever been written. It's been translated into 3,500 translations, at least one part of the Bible. And it's endured over time. It is the best-selling book in history, and it continues year after year to be the best-selling book. That's the Bible. I love the story of Voltaire. There was a philosopher who once declared that by the end of his lifetime, the Bible would be outdated, disproven, and no longer effective anymore. And actually what happened by the end of his lifetime, by the time he died, his house was taken over by a Bible translation house and became a translation house. So you mock the Word of God, and it's powerful. It's bigger than all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this. All Scripture, everyone say all Scripture, is inspired by God. Say inspired by God. It is. It's God-breathed. It's the breathed, spoken Word of God recorded. And it's useful to teach us what's true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives, corrects us when we're wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people. Come on, who's one of God's people? He uses it to equip us to do every good work. This is what the Bible does. And so this month, one of my favorite Bible teachers, gifted Bible teachers, is Pastor Gordon Moore, or Dr. Gordon Moore. He, for some of you will know, Jeremy was in our church for a number of years, moved to Auckland to plant a church, and they're doing good over there. His father, Gordon, has written a number of books and literally just released a book this last 2 weeks called The Bible Book of Books. And I love this about Pastor Gordon. He writes, since he handed over his church, he's been writing all of his life messages in little books. And I love that they're little books. They're about 100 pages, which is my perfect length of reading. So as you know, as someone who likes to achieve things, I read it this week in about 90 minutes. I'm like, yes, I read a book. How good is it? And that's not just about me. It's actually an awesome book. And so Pastor Gordon writes about 9 chapters, and we're going to get these books in. I really recommend that we read them. It's got a great chapter about the origin of the Bible, the reliability of the Bible. Can it be trusted? How did it get put together over a period of time? What was the criteria for it being the Word of God, or what we call canonized? And so it's amazing. My goal as your pastor, your shepherd, is to inspire and help you to read the Bible every day. It's not a hidden goal, it's my overt goal. I want to help you read the Bible every day. Why do I want to help you read the Bible? Well, there's a whole stack of reasons. We're going to go into some of them. But there was a survey done, that one of the largest ever surveys about the Bible and Bible reading was done in America a number of years ago. They actually surveyed 40,000 people. And they asked them, do they read the Bible? They asked them a number of questions about their life. And then out of it, they correlated some things. And they ended up terming this thing the power of four. The power of four. They found that reading the Bible once a week or twice a week didn't make a significant difference in a person's life over a period of time. But over years, if someone read the Bible 4 times a week, it made a significant difference in their lives. Here's some of the things that it did, and I'll touch on some later on, but one was better mental health. They said that people who read the Bible at least 4 times a week are 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness, 32% less likely to experience anger issues. Their destructive thoughts were noticeably less for people who read the Bible at least 4 times a week. That's a good start. Who wants some better mental health? Come on. Okay, the next thing is better relationships. The people who read the Bible at least 4 times weekly reported better relationships. 40% of couples who were married talked that they had less complications and issues in their lives when they read the Bible at least 4 times a week. Come on, let's go. I'm not going to ask who needs to read the Bible tonight. Just squeeze your partner's hands right there. Okay. Are you talking to me about less issues? I don't know. All right. A better spiritual life, which makes a lot more sense. 60% likely to not feel spiritually stagnant. So feeling like my life's got some spiritual momentum. This is people who read the Bible at least four times a week. 228% more likely to share their faith with other people. So people who are regularly reading the Bible are not just going, I should share my faith. They're actually sharing their faith. So this is awesome. So I want to, each week as we do this series, I'm going to give some practical thoughts, all right? Just some things out of my own life over a period of time. So the first one, I sat in a service like this in Toowoomba. I remember the room. You know when God does something powerful in your life and you can kind of remember the moment, the room, the vibe of the whole thing. I remember this room and someone talked about having a daily quiet time. I talked about taking 10 to 15 minutes each day to pray and 10 to 15 minutes each day to read the Bible and doing a 21-day challenge. And so as a 13-year-old, God spoke to my heart about committing to start my day or have part of my day of prayer in the Bible. And so that was 40 years ago. Can you believe it? And so for the last 40 years, it's been my habit most of the time, I'd say over 90% of the time, to read the Bible on a daily basis and to pray. And not just to get through the Bible, but to get the Bible through me. Because that's what changes your life. So my first hot tip, I'm going to give four hot tips tonight before we go in. My first one is massive fan of the one-year Bible. Massive fan. You can get the one-year Bible on the YouVersion app. I said this morning, it does have large print. That's not because I need it, but only when I'm not wearing my glasses. So the cool thing about the one-year Bible, it's got a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb that if you read it for, on average, if you're an average reader, 15 minutes a day, you can get through the Bible in a year. And it's really cool when you're grinding your way through some of the Old Testament things that are pretty hard yakka, to actually go, cool, now I can jump over the New Testament or a psalm or a proverb. So that's hot tip number one. I do love to change up my version every couple of years, and we'll touch base on that. But I like to maybe read the Message version or maybe read, this is the NIV. I've moved on to the NLT. I'll talk a bit about translations and paraphrases later on. Okay, that's the one-year Bible. So highly recommend. I like to read a paper Bible. Danielle reads it on an iPad, but I just find I get distracted on a device. So I love the old school. I also love that my kids have grown up watching me read the Bible in the morning, not just is dad on the phone or is he reading his Bible. So that, I do love that. Second thing, big fan of, is study Bibles. Study Bibles. So a study Bible is actually got some, you know, all the way through it. It's got comments and it's got little studies and little interpretations and little, what does that word mean? What's that verse mean? At the start of every book, it actually says, why was this book written? Who was it written to? Because the Bible's made up of 66 different books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 from when Jesus came. And so all of these books, when you, the key to reading the Bible is understanding the context and the culture behind it. What's being answered here? What's the question being answered? What's God? So that's a study Bible. This one, I got given this when I was a new pastor for my 30th birthday and from a team in our church, and it's the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And I really, if you're going to get one study Bible, that would be my recommendation. You can get it on a phone or an app, which I have as well. And as I read through my one-year Bible, often I'll go to a phone afterwards and get some, and just go, what's the meaning behind that? What's going on in this moment? And just to try and get some understanding. So that's a study Bible. So recommend a study Bible. Finally, if you want to just go that bit deeper, you get what's called a commentary. Okay, and a commentary is actually written about the Bible with a bit more detail. Tom Wright, all right, I can't recommend this high enough for those who want to go a bit deeper. He's the world's, I'd say, foremost theologian. He's in the UK, he's Anglican, and he's either N.T. Wright, when he writes a theologically deep book, it's N.T. Wright. When he writes one for your average punter, he writes as Tom Wright. And so what he does is he's actually done a translation of the Bible himself as a scholar, and then he picks two or three books of the Bible, or sometimes it's just one or two, and there's a little section about it, and then he spends a page or two explaining it, but with stories. and it brings the Bible alive. So if you want to go a bit deeper, Tom Wright for Everyone. The series is called Tom Wright for Everyone. So you can, I think there's two on the book of Matthew and one on the book of Mark and two on the book of Luke. So highly, highly recommend. That's, okay, that's hot tip number three. Hot tip number four is find a place where you read your Bible to try and get consistency. So I, for years, I would read it sitting in a couch, on a chair, and my kids would come sit on my lap and I'd read my Bible with a cup of tea. These days, I sit up at the table after I've prayed and I have my toast and my coffee. And so toast, coffee, Bible is the combination that I kind of love and I love going to. And as I read it, I'm reading it for a few things. I'm reading it firstly because God speaks to you when you read the Bible. If you, who would like God to speak to them? Yeah. All right. This is one of the main ways God will speak to you. He speaks by bringing, the Holy Spirit brings verses alive to us to speak to our heart. So and so what I love to do, and I think, Emily, do you want to just bring me out this little bag? I was taught when I was 13 in this moment. Okay, I was taught when I was 13 in this moment to have a journal. Teresa talked about journaling earlier. To have a journal beside you and ask God for every passage you read, whether it's small or long, for one or two or three verses to stick out and then to write them down. So every now and then for show and tell, I like to bring out my journals. So these are, so sometimes they're little notebooks. Sometimes they're diaries. Okay, just thank you. We're just going to even it out. Sometimes they're really, you know, this one was 1990. So what's really cool is to go back and go, what did God say to me when in 1990 when I was 19 years old? Josh, how old were you? One. Okay, so when Josh was one, what was God saying to me? So, and some of them are smaller, some of them are bigger. Some of them are, they're one, for a while I had a spade at one page in a day diary so I could write in the whole diary and just kind of keep writing them. This is, if we had a fire in our house, I'd be getting this pretty soon after the kids, my wife, the pets. So that's mine, all right? I'll throw this away and I'll leave that up there. That's about 30 years worth of gold in my life. And you know, it's just how you get the word. It's not that hard. I'm not auctioning it off. It's not that, but it's just, hey, one moment a day. Sometimes it used to be 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, but reading and just, and I love to write it. There's something about writing the scripture out and just thinking about it and meditating on it. And then later on in that day, what did God say to me today? And thinking over it. So that's not going to break there, is it? That's pretty good. That's all right. That's the word of God. That's a different message where we break something up here. All right. So tonight I want to talk about the nature of the Bible. In chapter 5 of Pastor Gordon's book, he talks about 12 different things that the Bible is referred to. So the Bible is called a fire that refines us. It's called a hammer that breaks the rock of our lives. It's called a mirror. I'm going to talk about that tonight, to reflect and transform us. It's called a seed to endure forever. This is the Bible, a seed. When you become a Christian, and if you're here tonight and you've never become a Christian, you've never not just committed to do certain things, but actually when you become a Christian, God's Spirit takes something from the Bible, the good news. It's called the seed. And He takes something from the Bible and it comes into our heart and the Holy Spirit creates a brand new. We become born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, that which does not, it will never fade away. Literally that seed word is sperma. So when you and I were created in a human sense, it was the seed of our father and with the mother's womb that we were created in that way. When you're born again spiritually, it's the seed of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brings alive to us and we become a brand new spiritual creation. We're being born again of the Word of God. It's a seed that endures forever. It's a laver to cleanse. We're going to look at that tonight. It's a lamp to guide. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if you're like, how do I live my life? The Bible literally lights up the next step. The Bible lights up the way I should live. If I need to make some big decisions, God will speak to me and He'll light up the pathway of my life. It's a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a lamp. You know it, right? All right. It's rain and snow to refresh us. We need refreshing. The Bible is compared to rain and snow. It's a sword to pierce and divide. So when we want to know, is that God's will or is that just my flesh? The word of God's like a sharper than a two-edged sword. It's like a scalpel that will divide between my will and God's will. That's why I need to read it every day. It's like gold to enrich us, it's power to create faith, and it's food to nourish us. And that's what I talked about this morning. I want to encourage you, talked about the Bible is spiritual food. It's milk, it's bread, it's meat, and it's honey. So tonight I want to talk about the Bible is a laver to cleanse. To cleanse. All right. I put a link in the notes. I'm not sure if we got the photo, but in the Old Testament times, a priest, before they would offer sacrifices, had a little bronze laver. Well done, team. That's a recreation of a bronze laver. And as you go into the temple, there'd be a bronze laver. The priest would wash their hands before they would offer the sacrifices in the temple of God. And so that water, the Bible is compared to the water that washes the priest's hands. It's washing. In Ephesians chapter 5, 25 and 26, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. This is the church, washed by the cleansing of God's word. God's word, it's like water that washes us. I don't know if anyone's ever said to you, don't go to church, they'll brainwash you. Anyone ever had someone say that like that to you? They'll brainwash you. My answer to that is if we could just put a sample of my thoughts up on that screen that go throughout the day, the angry thoughts, the negative thoughts, the critical thoughts, if you just put a few of my thoughts up there, very quickly you'd realize that I need brainwashing. And don't look at me like you don't need brainwashing. Don't sit there all high and mighty in your Sunday best like you've never had a negative thought. We need our minds washed. And daily reading the scripture just is this, it's like, I don't know, if you said to me, we bought some amazing soap. It's so amazing we put it on the mantelpiece. And every day we love to look at the soap because it's incredible. Or, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, when you go to a hotel once and you tried to wash yourself with the soap and it just was not lathering up and you realize it's got the film over the top of it. Still in the case, right? Anyone ever done that? All right, just me. All right, okay. Might be those glasses things that I need with my... But that's the word. So many people are like, the Bible's amazing. You should read the word. I've got it on my mantelpiece. It does no good sitting on your mantelpiece. It's no good still in its clean package. In fact, what do they say? A clean Bible equals a dirty Christian and a dirty Bible equals a clean Christian. So we read the Bible and it washes over us just bit by bit, moment by moment, day by day. It washes over us. It doesn't make us righteous. You know when Jesus went to wash Peter's feet and he said, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, wash all of me. And he goes, no, I don't need to wash all of you, just your feet. There's dust getting on you every day. And we need to read the Bible not to become, it's not what makes us right with God. Jesus makes us right with God. But the Bible washes off the stuff that gets on us. That survey that I talked about of the 40,000 people, one of the things that said this is people who read the Bible four times per week were also more likely to live a morally upright life. They were 59% less likely to view pornography, 57% less likely to get drunk. Rates similar to not being trapped in gambling or other areas were very similar. Why is that? Because they're washing their mind. We're washing our mind with the Word of God. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you need some washing, my friend. All right, okay, don't get personal now. We need the words. We need the word. That's okay. Deodorant after you wash is also good. What else is it? So if it's a laver to wash us, the word of God, it's every day, it's washing us as we read this. It's washing us. It's also a mirror. Yeah. Come on, how many people love the mirror? Let's give us a wave. Who loves the mirror? I'm getting a few. Joel pointed to Isaac. Is he a flexer in the mirror? Is he? Come on. There's nothing like a good flex in front of the mirror. Come on, fellas, help me out here. Somewhat, Dave Crowder, you know it. Okay, that's how it works. The mirror. The Bible tells us that it's a mirror. Okay, I'm just going to look. I'm going to do a little detour here and just teach us something while we look at the scripture that tells us that the Bible is a mirror. Because I want to talk to you about the difference between a translation and a paraphrase. So the Bible in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, which was the popular language of the day, and some of it in Aramaic is recorded, which was a kind of more of a slang or common language that Jesus probably spoke. And so there's two types of Bible, because you've ever wondered why is there like 50 different versions at you go to Qumran or somewhere? Okay, so the first is what we call a translation. And a translation takes the original scroll or the original writing that's been, and this is where you'll love that chapter by Pastor Gordon about how the Bible was put together and the different scrolls that have been found and proving the legitimacy of the Bible. Okay, it's really awesome. But a translation takes the original and tries as closely as possible to either take, and it keeps the pattern and it keeps the kind of dynamic of the original language, and it will usually take word for word, so that word in Hebrew, what's the best word in English, or a combination of word for word and thought for thought. So, and it keeps the structure, if you like, of the original Bible. So, and it's really cool. So common translations would be, like an original one was the King James Version, and so that was word for word in the Old English, thouest shall, you know, that kind of language. Then there's another translation that's a modern version of that, the New King James Version. Probably one of the most popular translations is the NIV or the New International Version, which is that one. I love that. You also got the NASB, so they go through them. They've all got initials. The NLT would be one of my favorites, the New Living Translation, okay? And it's more, so some of them will be more almost word for word, and others will lean more to thought for thought, or a combination of the two, but the aim of the translation is really to honor the original writing, but help us to understand it. So the English Standard Version, the ESV, etc. So this one's a New King James I've got, this one's an NIV, and I've got an app with about six different versions that I jump around in between, just to compare. Now then you've got a paraphrase, and a paraphrase is where someone reads that, and then they kind of internalize it, think about it, and then go, if I was going to explain that to people today using more modern language and thoughts that they'd understand, how would I rewrite that? So they're not honoring the original structure, etc., but they're helping us kind of get a bit of the idea of it. So paraphrases are like the message. Paraphrases would be more like the Passion. Although it calls itself a translation, it's closer to a paraphrase. A paraphrase would be the Living Bible. And so I love to mix it up, and so sometimes I'll spend a year reading a paraphrase, but sometimes, because a paraphrase is written by a human, right? So a person who has a bent or a particular opinions about certain things in the church, sometimes that will come through their paraphrase. So often I'll look at the paraphrase, but I'll go back to an actual translation, and sometimes they're like, whoa, these are on different planets. So I'll stick to the translation because it's closer to the original and it's not someone's perspective. So we're going to look at this next scripture through a couple of translations and a couple of paraphrases as a little study moment. Are you ready? All right, so this is in James. So let's start with James about the Bible being a mirror. Let's start with the NLT. Quite easy to understand. I love the NLT. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Next verse. Okay. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, which is another name for the Word of God, that sets you free. If you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. All right, so that's a translation about, and I'm going to preach out of this in a moment. Right now, I'm just helping us understand. Then if we jump to the next one, a paraphrase, what did I choose? Probably the Message. Okay, this is fun. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror. Walk away and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. Whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. The message is always longer. It's like me saying, Isaac, come on up here. The message would say, Isaac, if you could in your own time, would you like to please walk over here and come up the stairs and jump on the stage? That's the Message paraphrase, okay? And it's fun, and it's colorful, and it enhances it. And some scholars will say you should never read a paraphrase, but if you understand its intention, it's to help you get color and to kind of get a sense of what God might be saying in this. I think I chose another paraphrase. Did I give you another one? Okay, the Passion Translation. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and you forget your divine origin. I like that. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by it and respond to the truth they hear, and they're strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. So that's the passion. And often when I prepare a message, I'm kind of ask God, well, which one of these verses, which version, and I look at most verses in three or four different translations or paraphrase, which really brings this truth alive in a way that is consistent with the original text and God's intention, but also helps us really capture it. So probably I would have chosen the Passion if I was just going to give you one verse. Because I feel like that's the closest to the origin. Let's just read that one again together. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. I love this. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. When you read the Bible and you study the Bible, it's like looking in a mirror. When you look at Jesus, when you get born again, you have the DNA of Jesus on the inside of you. When you get born again, you become made in the image of Christ. And so when I'm reading the Bible, I'm getting a glimpse, a snapshot, a picture of who Jesus says that I am. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the Word. Then you go out and you forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by it. This is why I want you to become fascinated about the Bible, because the Bible tells you who you really are. The Bible tells you who God really created you to be. The Bible will shape you in that perspective and respond to the truth they hear, and they're strengthened by it. And they experience God's blessing in all that they do. When you read the Bible, it's looking into a mirror. I'm more than an overcomer through Christ who strengthens me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live in Christ who loves me and gave his life for me. When you read the Bible, you begin to discover who God says you are. I'm loved. I'm a dearly loved son of God. You discover I'm righteous and I'm holy and I have right standing with God, and sin has no grip on me and the devil has no power over me, because I'm looking into the word to discover who I really am. It's a mirror. Next time, you know, one of the cool things to do is to put some Bible verses up on your mirror. And just to put them up there and to speak them and gaze at them and let them shape who you see yourself to be, because the Bible is the true mirror or reflection of who Christ made it to be. That's cool, isn't it? The Bible's a laver to cleanse, and it's a mirror to reflect and transform. Paul said that I travail for you. that Christ might be formed in you. When we become Christians, we have the DNA of Jesus. We're a baby Christian. But the journey of transformation to growing up strong, as I talked about this morning, is the Word of God helps us, grows us, and strengthens us. But as Christ is being formed in me, it's because I'm staring into this book about who God says I am. If you're staring into your phone all the time, wondering what the world says about you, and then wonder why we're depressed, we wonder why we're anxious, we wonder why we're stressed, we wonder why we're comparing, or maybe we're not spending enough time looking at the mirror of the Word of God and who God says for us to be. Next year, we're going to be relaunching our Bible college. We've had a break from it to reimagine it. And I want to encourage you, if you want to get some into the Word of God into you and be inspired to understand and study, Bible college would be for you next year. We're relaunching our internship. We had a break from our internship, and we're relaunching it. We discussed it all this week. It'll be a day a week. There'll be an opportunity to get a diploma or the first year of an arts degree if you want to do that. You'll be able to get hex help or fee help for it. And it really, I'm so excited because during the day, we'll be studying the Bible together as well as mentoring and practical experience. I want to help you. It's our desire to help you get the Word of God into you. Discover who God made you to be. Can we close our eyes? I want you to answer this question. There's just a few. Where's your spot? Where's your place? All right, we're just going to watch you carry that away because that's... And it's safe. Good job. You can take that too. Thank you. Daryl, good man. All right, now we'll close our eyes again. We're all distracted there for a moment. My first question is, do you have a time and a place where you read the Bible on an ongoing basis? I personally recommend getting up a bit earlier in the morning and before your day gets crowded, having a time where you read the Bible and pray alongside it. Even if you're starting at 5 minutes a day, where's your place? When's your time? There's something powerful about washing our minds with the Word of God. Something powerful about feeding on the Word of God. Something powerful about looking into the Word to discover who we really are. It's the 3rd of November today. And so I want to put a challenge out. Just like 40 years ago, someone put a challenge out to me as a 13-year-old. And it was a 21-day challenge. Would I spend at least 5-10 minutes for the next 21 days giving some time to read the Bible? And I'm wondering whether you do it already or you don't. But if you're going, okay, I'm going to read the Bible every day until the end of this month of November. It's 27 days. Usually they say 21 days creates a habit. So you're like, all right, I'm going to do this for the next 27 days. Would you just put your hand up and say, that's me. Yeah, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to get it into me. Awesome. Lots of people. That's so good. I'd say reading the Bible. Some people are like, oh, I listen to podcasts every day. Podcasts are good, especially if they've got lots of scripture in them. But ultimately, it's the Bible, you reading the Bible yourself. Even if it's just one verse that you think about and talk, there's a power in that word. The Spirit of God breathes that word alive into your heart. So podcasts are great, but don't let them replace daily reading of the word. Before we move on, the greatest thing that could happen tonight, while eyes are closed, is I'd love to lead us in a prayer for anyone here tonight who's not in a relationship with God. You want to begin a relationship with God tonight. If you're created for a relationship with God, if you're not walking with Him, I'd love to help you connect with Him. He loves you so much. Such a purpose for your life. He wants to walk with you in your life every day.